Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelzang. As part of our Smithsonian Associates Art of Living series, our guest today on the Not Old Better Show is Dr. Jody Magnus. Dr. Magnus is one of those incredibly interesting people that we get to hear from on the Not Old Better Show. Dr. Magnus is an archaeologist, is president of the Archaeological Institute of America, and Dr. Magnus is a religious studies scholar who specializes in ancient Palestine and life in the time of Jesus.
The series of lectures that I'm giving is on the rise of the synagogue up to the Muslim conquest of Palestine in the 7th century AD. Along the way, we're going to be looking at topics such as what did synagogues look like in the time of Jesus, and we will be spending a lot of time discussing the very interesting figured decoration that is found in many ancient synagogues.
That, of course, is our guest today, Dr. Jody Magnus, who will be at the Smithsonian Associates Program presenting a day-long series about the rise of the synagogue in Jewish life, Saturday, February 24th, 2018, 9:30 a.m. at the Ripley Center in Washington, D.C. Please join me in welcoming to the Not Old Better Show via Skype, Dr. Jody Magnus. Well, Dr. Jody Magnus, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Dr. Magnus, I get a chance to talk to a lot of people. This is one of the subjects that I have to tell you I am most excited about. I think we're gonna have you for a whole day at the Smithsonian Associates program. And the title, of course, is The Rise of the Synagogue in Jewish Life. So tell us briefly about your day-long presentation there, because we're going to learn a little bit about Jewish daily life in the time of Jesus, correct?
Yeah, actually, that's true, because, of course, synagogues as an institution were embedded in Jewish daily life in the Roman world. And so, absolutely, it's kind of, in a way, a chronological survey of synagogues in that I present sort of the development of synagogues over time from their beginnings, which are actually kind of shrouded in mystery. There's no agreement among scholars about when the institution of the synagogue first developed or where it first developed. And then we go through, you know, the time of Jesus and up through late antiquity to the Muslim conquest of Palestine in the 7th century. Along the way, we will be exploring in some detail a number of important ancient synagogues, such as the one at Hamat Tiberias near modern Tiberias by the Sea of Galilee, talking about the figured decoration that is found in many ancient synagogues, including some very surprising and somewhat mysterious motifs, such as the heliozodiac cycle. And we'll be spending a whole lecture on the synagogue that I've been excavating now for the last few years at a site called Hukok, which is located near the Sea of Galilee.
It's just fascinating. I think this will really be a very exciting presentation for everybody. But I have to ask you a kind of a serious question now, Dr. Magnus. As an archaeologist and religious studies scholar, the shocking, really, destruction by militants of archaeological sites is tragic. And it's such as temples, the Syrian site of Palmyra, museum destructions. Are you in a race right now to both study and preserve these significant locations from being destroyed? And what can my audience do to help?
Yeah, this is a problem. I mean, there are several aspects to this. Personally, this is not a factor at the moment for my site, although there are concerns in Israel. There are actually separate issues, but what you were talking about is more in parts of the Middle East that have unstable governments that are war-torn and where there's no centralized authority that is able to protect the archaeological remains, or where sometimes the governing authorities are hostile to science and archaeology and deliberately destroy the remains. I'm glad you actually asked that, because I'm the president of the Archaeological Institute of America, or AIA, and one of our core missions is to help preserve these ancient monuments and remains worldwide. So if your listeners are interested in becoming involved in supporting the effort, I would encourage them to go to the website of the AIA, which is archaeological.org, and join and find out how to support our efforts.
Thank you. I know my listeners will be interested in that, and I appreciate you indulging me a little bit on that question, because I think this is an important subject to be talked about. I'm glad to hear that your sites aren't so impacted by some of this, but others are, and we want to preserve them. I think you have this really interesting background that just is fascinating to me. It's this merger of a science side of you, the archaeologist, and then this religious studies side of you. So number one, you must be in high demand all over the world. So we're grateful you joined us at the Smithsonian. But for those of us, I certainly am in this category, who are intrigued by the history of human religiosity, what discovery, in your opinion, has played the most important role in learning about both of these areas of history?
So there, I think I would just have to answer for, let's say, early Judaism, or Judaism rather than other religions, because obviously there, if you expanded it to religions worldwide, you could probably get a whole big list of of discoveries.
Mm-hmm.
But for archaeology, for early Judaism, at least in the last, 100 years, I would have to say that the Dead Sea Scrolls are the most important discovery. And in fact, they have been called the most important archaeological discovery of the 20th century. So they shed an unparalleled new light on our understanding of early Judaism, Judaism in the time of Jesus, and by way of extension, Judaism in the centuries afterwards, and actually by way of extension going backwards, our understanding of the nature of the Hebrew Bible, the way it was composed, what it looked like before it sort of came to, in the form that we have it today. So, I would have to say the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Thank you. Tell us a little bit about the Magdala Stone and this particular artifact, which you'll be touching on during your presentation at the Smithsonian. Why is it so significant?
The Magdala Stone is really interesting. So we have only a handful of ancient synagogue buildings that date to, let's say, the time of Jesus, right? First century BCE, first century CE. So the synagogue at ancient Migdal or Magdala, it's the same place. Migdal is the Hebrew version of the name, Magdala is the Aramaic version. And that, of course, by the way, was the hometown of Mary Magdalene, right?
Mm-hmm.
So excavations at that site have brought to light a very, very small, I mean, it's really tiny, actually, room that apparently was used as a synagogue. And in the middle of it, they found this carved stone block that has really interesting designs on its sides, including motifs that appear to allude to the Jerusalem temple. And it's the first time that we have anything like this from a synagogue that dates to before 70 CE, that is before the destruction of the Second Temple. We have plenty of imagery in later synagogue buildings that alludes to the Jerusalem temple, but not in a synagogue from before 70. So this is an unparalleled find. Scholars are still debating what the imagery means and what the table was used for, but it is a very, very important recent find.
Does some of the imagery depict an actual menorah?
Yeah, there is, among other things, also a menorah on there. That's mm-hmm. right. The menorah, of course, was the seven-branched candelabrum mm-hmm. or lampstand that was one of the pieces of furniture in the Jerusalem temple.
Fascinating. Would it be plausible to suggest that Jesus was teaching at that particular synagogue? Is that something that you've done much research on?
To the best of my recollection, and so part of the problem is that the synagogue has not actually been published yet. Neither has the stone block, at least not by the excavators. And so it is very difficult to evaluate the dating evidence for it. Based on the preliminary report that is published through the Israel Antiquities Authority, my recollection is that form of the building, the one that has the stone block in it, dates to around 50 CE. So that would be after the death of Jesus. So I'm not sure, and again, we just have to wait for the publication of the final report by the excavators. I'm not sure when that synagogue was built, and what form it took, you know, during the time of Jesus, if it existed at that time.
Well, this is also interesting. I really could talk to you for a long time, Dr. Magnus. I just have one final question, and I think it's a biggie for you because it really has to do with Hukok, I think, is how it's best mm-hmm. pronounced. Yep, good. So tell us a little bit about the excavation in that ancient village, because I found references online to you and this particular excavation as a find of a lifetime. My gosh, that is really...
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. Yeah, and for your listeners, if they're interested in finding out more, we do have a dig website, which is just the name of the site, .org, hukuk.org, and hukuk is spelled H-U-Q-O-Q. I know it looks odd, but that's how it's spelled.
Good.
So what we've been uncovering there is an ancient Jewish village that dates to the time of Jesus and the centuries after Jesus. And from those centuries after Jesus, specifically from the 5th century CE, so around the year 400, we are bringing to light a monumental synagogue building decorated with the most extraordinary mosaic floors that include a series of biblical scenes, like we have two episodes depicting the biblical hero Samson, we have a scene of Noah's Ark, we have Jonah from last summer, just extraordinary, and also what is apparently the first non-biblical story ever discovered decorating an ancient synagogue. And I'll be talking about this and showing a lot of pictures during my talk at the Smithsonian.
Very exciting. We will, of course, put links to the website, to Hukuk's website, to that excavation site where people can get information, as well as the archaeological association that you are president of. And we'll provide some images on the website, too, of some of your presentation. But Dr. Jody Magnus, thanks so much for joining us today. And we're looking forward to seeing you at the Smithsonian. It's going to be really a wonderful day.
Well, thank you for having me. I look forward to it.
Thanks very much, Dr. Magnus. My thanks to our guest today, Dr. Jody Magnus, who will be at the Smithsonian Associates Program presenting a day-long series about the rise of the synagogue in Jewish life Saturday, February 24th, 2018. More information about Dr. Magnus and the presentation is available at our website. My thanks as well to the Smithsonian team for all they do to support our interviews. Thanks, guys. As usual, we'll post links to everything, and also, as usual, my thanks to you, the listeners, for joining me today. Your time is valuable, and I'm grateful you're spending some of it with me today. I'm always interested in feedback, and you can leave it at iTunes, Google Play, or send me an email at info@notold-better.com. Thanks, everybody.